Hi, this is Tracy.
And this is Steven.
And this is Just the Two of Us podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. Thanks for joining us.
What's up with this like radio voice you got going on there?
I was just trying to be funny. So no, seriously, everybody, welcome back. I just want to quickly say thank you to everybody who has been listening to the podcast so far. We've been receiving a lot of feedback, and so far it's been really great, and we really appreciate all the love. So we'd like to thank you for that. And we really appreciate you listening, and we hope you continue to listen. And if you love the podcast so much, please, please share it with your friends and your family and, you know, everybody that you know, your neighbors, your coworkers.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Your preacher, your doctor, your mail lady, everyone who's in your life.
All those folks.
Just share it. We're available on iTunes. We're available via the website at podbean.com. Just share alike.
Yes. Share it. Anyway, and also, be sure to leave us a little review on iTunes also, because that helps, you know, spread the good cheer.
Yes.
And all that stuff. So anyway, we should first start off by saying Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! It is a new year. Can you believe it? It is 2015. Where did the time go? I have no idea. but it is a great new year. We had a nice quiet new year. We just chilled here. And
we just chilled at the crib. We watched Pitbull sweat through his shirt on Fox. Like, that shirt was opaque at first, but then once he started sweating, it turned transparent with the quickness.
Even his arms. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I think that's weird. I mean, it's not weird. I mean, but it... I was just fascinated. The entire shirt was just drenched.
It's amazing. It's like, wow, like Pitbull really knows how to sweat. And it just makes me wonder, as he probably should consult with Jason Kidd on how to wear a suit and not sweat, you know, considering they're one and the same person, essentially. So
you just won't let that go.
It's twin Jason Kidd.
Well, I guess a lot of people think that.
Yeah, I'm not the only one who thinks Jason Kidd and Pitbull are one and the same.
That is hilarious. Hilarious. But again, Happy New Year to everybody, and we hope you all had a wonderful New Year's. So let's get into our topics for this evening, and we have four topics tonight, and they are all very random. They're all kind of a hodgepodge of things, but rest assured, we will entertain you nonetheless with all these random topics. So first, we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. And get into that. And then we're going to talk about something that we were chatting about the other day. Since it's now 2015, and Steven realized that Back to the Future Part 2 was set partially in the year 2015. And if you remember the movie, they had all these wonderful flying hoverboards and self-lacing basketball shoes, automatic drying clothes, flying cars, all of these wonderful inventions. And so we're going to discuss, where is all that? It's 2015. We should have these things. So we're going to talk about that. And our next topic we will talk about will be relationships. We're going to get into the mind of men and women and talk about platonic relationships between men and women. Do they exist? Can they exist? Can we make this happen? I don't know. And finally, I'm gonna leave that a secret. The last topic, I'll just hold up on
secret.
It.
Secret. Okay. Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's just something fun. We talk about it. Yeah. We know this. Yeah. It's nothing big.
Okay.
But anyway, Steven.
Yes.
New Year's resolutions. Do you make them? Do you have any?
No, I do not make them.
You don't. No.
I know. I mean, I said let's do a topic on New Year's resolutions, just so I can tell you I don't do that. Next topic.
Then no. Why are we talking about that?
No, that's something I've never really been into. I know people make a big deal out of them. Mm-hmm. People go with the New Year, New You type, mm-hmm. you know, self affirmations, right. That they like to bring up. But it's not something I've ever been into more. I don't know why. I guess because I feel like if it's something like important enough that I have to change mm-hmm. about myself or things I want to do, resolve to do, then why did it have to wait till January 1st for me to implement that change?
Exactly.
I mean, I've never been that much into it. I mean, there's I kind of take a mental note of what I want to do, you know, through the year. I mean, mm-hmm. kind of like goals I want to do, but it's not any rigid list or anything like that. It's not like a set list. I write down, mm-hmm. you know, a list of 20 things that I resolve to do.
Right.
So I generally don't do it. I mean, I did make one. What I guess it wasn't really an official resolution, but I do remember at one point I said something that I guess is an email conversation you and I had with a couple of friends of ours. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Leo and Alicia. I said something like, I'm going to make an honest woman out of you in this year. And that was before I proposed to you.
Oh.
Back in 2012. And at that point, when I made that statement, I kind of knew I was going to do it. So that's why, I was kind of setting the table for that one. I was
okay.
Like, I'm going to make an honest woman out of Tracy or something like that. But it wasn't really an official, like, resolution. It was kind of like, well, I plan on doing that. So
right.
I just feel, I don't know. It's funny because people make these resolutions, and I find it seems like they don't really follow through on them. Because it's funny. A lot of people, make a big deal about these resolutions at the beginning of the year. Then, like, they make this list, and everyone's like, new me, new year, new me. I'm doing this. And then, like, you don't hear anything about them for the rest of the year.
Right.
You don't hear anything about the word resolution until the next year when they're talking about the New Year's resolutions. Like, okay,
right.
What happened to – did you meet – those resolutions you had before, like, did you check off those boxes that you put down throughout the year? Like, can we get an update on that? Mm-hmm. Or you just completely forgot about that?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I agree. I used to make resolutions, probably back in my early 20s or so, but I kind of stopped doing them because I realized I was one of those people that would say, okay, yeah, this year I'm going to work out. I'm going to go to the gym, which is probably, I would say, the number one resolution everybody tries to make. But yeah, I would fall off and definitely by February I would be over it. So I stopped making resolutions. And what I do now, especially since I blog, I tend to do lists, and I'm actually in the midst of writing my list right now that I will hopefully have up soon. But I make a list of things that I did over the past year, kind of like a reflection. That's what I would call those blog posts. I would title them, my reflections mm-hmm. of that year, and just kind of reflect on everything that I did for the year, what I accomplished, what I didn't accomplish, And so I guess mentally I set out to, try to accomplish things that I didn't get to, or, just try to set new goals. But yeah, I don't really try to say, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z things for this new year. I just try to, mentally achieve some things, but I don't know. I it takes a lot of pressure off though when you don't set those sorts of lofty goals. But I say, like, if you do make some resolutions, if you're the type of person that makes resolutions, I say, and this sounds like not ambitious, but I think it makes more sense to set small goals, like things that you know you can really do. Like, don't say, oh, I'm going to work out 6 days a week.
Right.
And, whatever. And you haven't gone to the gym in the past, like, 5 years.
That's
just not going to happen. At least try to say, okay, I'm going to get to the gym at least twice a week for 30 minutes.
Right.
Or three times a week for 30 minutes. Because that's a very doable goal.
Right. They should be reachable and measurable goals.
Right.
You should say, like, I am going to, do 30 minutes of walking once a week. Right. You know, something that's like measurable and something that's, mm-hmm. you know, something that's you can relatively easily accomplish. And then just go from there and kind of like increase the goals. I mean, don't start off saying, well, I'm going to hit the gym 5 days a week and, you know, I'm going to stunt out here on these fools with my new gym body. Like, no, slow down, player.
It's not going to happen. Especially if you've been a couch potato over the past year. Right. You're not just going to automatically start going to the gym. I mean, props to anybody who has done that, but I mean, usually that doesn't happen. So yeah, that's kind of my thing, that I do. And for this year, like I said, I blog and I usually write a list of the things, you know, I reflect upon the past year. So I've already started doing that, and I've been, you know, writing down some things that I guess I wanted to accomplish last year, and some things that, you know, I've discovered. And actually, that's what my post is going to be called. It's going to be my 2014 discoveries, things I kind of found out about myself, mm-hmm. and, you know, just realize about myself, and, you know, things that I want to improve upon going forward. So right. That's kind of what I'm doing and where I'm at.
So you're going to put that in a blog post? And
yes.
Where can we find that?
Oh, look at you. Just plugging away.
Yes.
I was going to plug it anyway. Okay. That's okay. But yeah, for those of you who are interested, I have a blog, and I'll put the link in our description box.
You can also say it as well. It's pretty easy to remember.
Well, yeah, it is. I guess so. It is Trayrific.
Yeah, okay.
Should I spell that?
Do you should spell Trayrific? I think people are smart enough to figure out Trayrific, yeah.
Trayrific, like yes. Terrific, but Trayrific.wordpress.com. And I will also put it down in the description box, so you guys can check that out if you'd like.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. Next topic, moving on. We're done with resolutions, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't have a resolution, so. That's like, pretty whatever. Easy on my part. Moving on, well, the year is 2015, as we said before, mm-hmm. and in the movie, 1989 movie, Back to the Future, starring Michael J. Fox, part of the movie takes place in the year 2015, and in this wonderful future world of the movie, there are a number of inventions that you know, we have supposed to have experienced by then, which are flying cars, hoverboards, self-lacing basketball shoes, and automatic drying clothes, to say the least. And, you know, my question is, the thing is, I'm wondering, it's like, you know, well, first of all, where are my flying cars? Like, where are my flying cars? It's like that Avery Brooks IBM commercial from about like 10 years ago. Avery Brooks of Spencer for Hire, Man Called Hawk, and Deep Space Nine fame, mm-hmm. where he talks about, it's just an IBM commercial, but he says, where are my flying cars? Where are my flying cars? And here is 2015, like, I'm waiting for flying cars. Like, that's something I think at this point we probably should have come up with. But, I mean, I understand why we don't have it. But one thing is, I would have liked to see, we're probably a long ways off from this, but one thing I really want to see is, I want to see transporters.
Really?
I mean, this is probably something that's probably a good 200, 300 years away.
We won't
see that in our lifetime. No. But I just imagine, like, transporters and being able to, like, you know, go from one side of the Earth to the other in a matter of seconds, or from Earth to, you know, an orbiting spaceship or something like that. I mean, I just think that's, like, the coolest thing ever, like a transporter. Mm-hmm. And actually, another one is, like, holosuites, like holodecks from like Star Trek. Like, basically, all my adventures are based on Star Trek. But like holodecks, where it's like a virtual world where, you know, everything feels real, looks real, sounds real, but it's all, you know, digital and it's not real. Mm-hmm. And that's something that would be awesome. I mean, because we're kind of going there in a way with these virtual realities and like, Oculus mm-hmm. Rift type technology people are using. But it would be awesome if we could have like a virtual reality where actual, you know, tangible substances are created that you can touch rather than just, you know, a visual thing.
Right.
What inventions have you liked to see? Or is there anything you may have seen in television or movies that you think, okay, we should have this now, or I would like to see this mm-hmm. sometime in the future?
Yeah, it's funny thinking about it, because in the movie, in the Back to the Future movie, 2015, it just seems so far away.
Because the movie took place in 1985, the original movie, mm-hmm. and the sequel came out in 1989. Mm-hmm. So when you hear 2015 and 1989, it's like, oh man, 26 years from now, wow. It's like, you know, there's going to be a baseball team in Miami. Mm-hmm. The Cubs are going to win the World Series. And Jaws 19 is going to come out. That's kind of what you were thinking was going to happen in the next 29 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, when I saw that movie and, you know, I was a little kid, whatever, you know, you don't really calculate the actual time. So it's like now thinking about it, it's like, of course we weren't going to have all those things now.
Yeah. When you think of like flying cars, development of technology, it's like things move quickly, but not that quickly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So for me, yeah, I'm not surprised we don't have flying cars. And I was, you know, talking to you about this the other day about flying cars. If we had flying cars, like, how would that work right now? Like, I'm thinking in, you know, a large city, a large populous city like New York, like, they're flying cars. I mean, can you imagine how much chaos would be? And, like, where would you land your car? Like, would there be any more street driving, or would it just be all like air traffic? And right. if it's like still street traffic, like in a city like New York where there's like 8 million people, like, can you imagine, like, where would you put your car? Like, do you have to land on top of a building? I don't know how this works. How high can they go? Right. Like, I have way too many questions.
Well, maybe they have to retrofit the buildings to have like
landing,
like parking, like on the side of the building. So like,
yeah. Oh my God, that would be crazy.
So there'll be like, instead of like a window, like there'll be kind of like doors that like will open up to where a car would park. So like basically you just park around the building, all around the building and up the side of the building. So I'm thinking like
that gives me so much anxiety. It doesn't seem cool to me. It doesn't seem like...
Well, you got to think about, not everyone's going to have a flying car.
True.
I mean, there are people still driving like 1983 Tercels. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like immediately everyone's going to have a flying car. It's going to be like a slow, you know, implementation of the flying car industry.
It's like cell phones, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Everybody kind of just eventually got one.
Right, yeah, it took a while. I mean, people were still on pagers, you know, for a while. And we slowly moved on to cell phones.
I had a really cool pager. Did I tell you about my pager I had on my watch?
On your watch? No. Yeah, I had Dick Tracy? Yeah, how you can have a pager on your watch?
I got this sweet Swatch watch pager. It was bomb. And if you think about that, like, I got that in like the 90s or something. I don't know. Like, well, whenever pagers were popular. But yeah, like, it was, my parents bought this for me, and I can't believe they bought me something like that, because they are so not into buying me and my siblings. They are not into buying us any name brand thing. So for them to buy a Swatch was kind of like, wow. But anyway, yeah, it was a pager and it was dope. I miss that thing.
I never had a pager. Like, I didn't have anything until 99 is when I got my first cell phone.
Okay.
Like, I didn't have, until that point, I didn't have any pagers or
anything
like that. So, I was kind of like a slow adopter on the cell phone train. Mm-hmm. But, I didn't have a pager. So, it wasn't like, I mean, what was sweet about it other than it was like on your wrist? Like,
that.
You received, was it like a text pager? Like, did you receive messages or it was just numbers?
Yeah, it was text. Yeah, it was text. Yeah.
Did you send texts?
It was it was cool. It was really cool. Anyway, my inventions that I think, well, I don't know what we should have now, because I mean, I'm living here, we're living in this now, and I don't know, seeing as technology is definitely advancing, but I mean, not to the level of the things that I'm thinking of. I'm not sitting up here like, we should have these things right now, but maybe in the future. The first thing that I thought of was Minority Report. And I'm sure you guys have seen Minority Report. If you have not seen that movie, you can Google this. But one of the cool things in Minority Report was the whole pre-crime system, where basically, you know, they caught criminals before they actually committed a crime. And I can't even remember how they did it. What did they...
Oh, because they had three... it was three psychics. It was like three people.
Oh, right. Those...
They're psychics. So they had some kind of like, you know, birth defect or something going on with them.
They made those people, right?
I don't know if they made them, but they were definitely psychic. And then they would like have a vision of like a crime. And then they would send like a ball through the system that would like give the information to the police saying, you know, this guy is going to kill his wife, like, you know, in 20 minutes, something like that.
I only saw that movie like once, and that was when it first came out, so I can't really remember. But that whole, if we actually developed a system like that, I think that would be
pre-crime,
kind of cool,
like to predict crime.
Yeah,
they kind of have stuff like that now. I mean, you know, there are large, you know, cities that are using like, you know, statistical analysis and algorithms to kind of predict, you know, areas of hot spots where crime will occur, and they're
not a person.
Obviously. I mean, you're talking about inventing a person, apparently. But like they have like technology, like cameras and microphones set up. I think it might be London or someplace. Microphones set up across the country where you know, if you know, a gunshot is, you know, is heard, or a gunshot is fired, then like a microphone pick up where it is, and like it give you a precise location of where it is.
Wow.
So something like kind of going in that direction of, I mean, it's not, you know, predicting the crime, but it's like giving like instantaneous, you know, information to like law enforcement authorities on, you know, okay, where this occurred, and you know, help them, you know, get a quick resolution to the situation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Big Brother is watching all over.
I know, and I know people will be like, that's kind of, I don't know, on some other level spy stuff, but, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle on that stuff, but that's for another show.
Yeah.
The other thing that I used to love and would love for there to actually, I guess they kind of do, like, some, well, yeah, there was that place here. It was a small little venue here that dispensed food.
That was a few years ago. Yeah.
Anyway, the Jetsons. I'm thinking Jetsons here. I'm thinking Star Trek here, where they have like, you just basically press a button and you can get whatever kind of food or drink that you want, and it just magically appears. We need that.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, like in you know, like in Star Trek, it's like a replicator.
Right.
So it's essentially like, you know, you would sit down in your captain's quarters and you say, you know, computer, tea, Earl Grey, hot. You know, and then like Earl Grey tea would come out and it'd be hot.
And it'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Like, that would like eliminate so much stress in my life.
If you didn't have to cook at all.
Yeah. I mean, I like to cook, but just figuring out what's, I don't know, like to put it, you have to figure out what you want to make, and you have to put it all together, you have to gather all the ingredients, like, that's the part I don't like. I don't like trying to bring it all together.
Right.
Yeah, like, especially if you want something kind of elaborate, you know, like tacos. Now, tacos sounds like a very simple dish, but it is not, because you gotta get all your, you gotta get your meat. You gotta get your taco shells.
Taco shells.
Soft or hard. Crunchy.
Soft.
Whatever.
I like them soft.
You like soft.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You gotta get those things. But that's not where it stops. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's not where it ends. You have to get the toppings.
You gotta get going.
You gotta get your tomatoes, right?
Tomatoes.
You gotta get your cheese.
Cheese.
You gotta get, what else do you like?
Well, lettuce.
Lettuce, right. Yeah. Lettuce. And then if you're more fancy like myself, you know, sometimes I like a little avocado.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right, right.
Sometimes I like, I don't know what the heck I like. That's about it. But you know
onions,
what I'm saying?
You like onions, don't you?
It's good. We watch way too much SNL. Okay, anyway. No, but the topics, that's what gets you, because not only do you have to get them, but you have to prepare them. So you got to shred your cheese. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can buy shredded, but, you know, you have to get the cheese. You got to get tomatoes. If you want tomatoes, you got to chop the tomatoes up. You got to get the lettuce shredded. There is a lot of prep that goes into tacos. And so every time I think, oh, we're going to have tacos tonight, I instantly get sad because I'm like, ugh, I have to make all of this stuff.
Well, one thing we could do, I mean, we could just throw it all in a blender. I mean, pretty much you're doing the same action of all those things.
You can just throw it.
You could take some cheese, take some tomatoes, or take some lettuce and put it in a blender, put that bad boy in puree, and then boom, you got the toppings for the tacos.
this is why you don't cook.
I'm just talking about efficiency. I'm just trying to talk about...
Maybe not a blender, but a food processor would
A food processor.
Work for some
of your throw it all together, things. Boom, it'll be easy.
Yes, well, anyway, if there were such things as food... What do you call it, replicator? Yeah,
a replicator, yes.
That would be great. What did the Jetsons call it?
I don't know.
Was it a food-o-matic or something? Everything was in the, like,
a-matic.
Right. So, yeah, that would be what I would want. And going along with the Jetsons thing, I mean, we do have robots, but what if we had, like, a Rosie?
I know, we need a Rosie.
That'd be awesome.
I had a little maid. But then, see, but that's the thing. Like,
you have an iRobot situation. Robots rise up. Like, oh my God.
Right, like, we got to treat her right, man. Because, like, you know, she's going to take offense to us and, like, try to kill us in our sleep. Or be like, you know, like that creepy robot from that commercial. You know, that commercial. I don't remember what product it's for. But it's a commercial where, like, the woman's, like, doing, like, exercises in front of the TV. And then she, like, asks the robot. This is like a little robot that's like dusting like the lamp behind her. No, it's like it was like an actual like little like robot in the shape of a man. It's like a commercial where it's like she's like doing exercises and she tells the robot, she's like, Robbie, can you dim the lights? But he's like watching her like bend over. He's just checking out her butt.
I don't remember.
And then she's like, ah. So she goes and turns off the lights herself. And he's like, that's it. Get into the mood. I showed you that commercial before.
I don't remember. I have no idea.
Well, we'll put a link in the description box for that commercial. That commercial is hilarious. It's like the robot became self-aware and self-aware of his like sexual feelings for this woman who's doing exercise in front of him.
That is so random.
So I'd be afraid of like robots just going like crazy and just like killing us.
Yeah, we don't need an iRobot moment.
Don't need that.
Yeah, but those are the things that I can think of that. I mean, basically anything from Star Trek, I think, like you're saying, like, there's so many cool things. Like you were talking about the holodeck?
Yeah, the holodeck,
And that'd be awesome.
And Star Trek has paved the way. I mean, Star Trek has already, you know, they introduced like things like, you know, the communicators and the pads, which have turned into like the modern, you know, cell phone or mobile phone and, you know, like iPads or like, you know, touchscreen phones. I mean, from the next generation, I mean, that's exactly what it was. It's like a little touchscreen pad that had like all kinds of, you know, information and it touched it and brought up videos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like pretty much what like a cell phone does today.
You know, speaking of like, I was just thinking about the touchscreen thing. Also on Star Trek where they have the, you know, the medic where basically they can
hyper spray.
See, I'm the worst Star Trek person ever. As much Star Trek as I've watched in my day, back in the day, Captain Kirk, New Next Generation, like, I've seen movies.
Yeah.
I don't know the names of anything. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I just pay attention to the fact that, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I'm the worst. But anyway, yes.
That's something good. Because, like, the hyper spray will be whatever medicine in it. Yeah. It'll be, like, you know, anesthetic. It'll be something to knock someone out. Better than having a needle. Like, we should have graduated from, like, needles to hypo
sprays.
Right.
I agree with that. We should have that now.
Yeah,
I feel like we should.
But there's one thing. There's one thing I just remember I wanted to say. There's one invention that we should have now that should be widespread, and it should everyone in the world should have access to it. It is 2015.
Yes.
Why am I still wiping my own butt? Like, seriously. Like, think about it. We've had toilet paper as, like, the primary mode of cleansing one's back region for, like, at least 100 years, if not more. Like, the modern toilet paper on a roll, right? Why am I still doing it? Like, they have not improved this situation in all the time. Like, I mean, especially with toilet paper, is like this. Like, toilet paper 2015 is the same toilet paper that was in 2000, the same toilet paper that was in 1980. Like, toilet paper is not going to advance anymore. So, can we get on to the point where I don't even have to use toilet paper anymore? Like, can't we? I mean, I'm sure that there are some toilets out there that are kind of self-cleansing. I mean, or some Japanese toilets. Bidets aren't, to me, they're not technological enough. Like, bidets just a little water. Like, that's just like me getting like a water hose and just spraying myself. Like, seriously, I'm talking about, like, I can go do my do in the bathroom, and then I have an electronic, and they do have these toilets out there, but they're not, like, they're really not widespread.
Yeah, what are they, those Totos?
I guess, like, but Japanese. They're expensive and they're not widespread. Like, that should be, like, standard by now in all bathrooms where, like, you do what you need to do and this thing just, like, that just cleans you up in, like, 10 seconds, dries you up, and then, boom, you can just stand up and walk away. I mean, that is what I want, man. And I'm very disappointed that we haven't, like, advanced in that. I mean, I think it's a cause we all can get behind. Like, there's something, like, I think everyone on this planet can agree that, like, that is something we want. So if we can, like, get a brain trust together, we can, like, crowdsource this, I'm sure we can pressure the powers that be to, like, give that to the people.
First of all, I'm shaking my head at you. I just want you all to know I have been shaking my head and disapproving of all of this. But I see what you did.
See,
there.
What?
I see what you did.
What
there.
Did I do?
It's something that we should get behind.
Oh, see,
I see what you did there.
See, I didn't even think of that. But you know what? I like where your head's at. I like what you're thinking over there.
You're crazy. This is what I live with, people.
Yes,
get jealous.
That's what you live with. I'm full of ideas. But anyway.
Anyway.
Moving on,
yes,
like, that's a nice point to end that topic on. Let's talk about platonic relationships between men and women's. Like,
have you been delivered?
I was born delivered. I was born this way. But anyway, with platonic relationships between men and women who are in relationships with other people. And the question is, like, do you think, is it possible for that to happen, and under what circumstances? Like, is it possible for you and me to be married, but for me to have, like, a platonic female friend? Like, and I don't mean just, like, you know, a casual acquaintance or someone to hang out with. I mean, like, a hardcore, like, this is my road dog, like, best friend type situation where, like, I spend a lot of time with this person, a lot of time talking to this person. Like, is that possible? Or is it always going to be that underlying undercurrent of, like, you know, attraction or sexual attraction between those parties? And, you know, it's just not a good idea to even be in that situation.
Okay. Well, my take on this topic, and it's really multifaceted. Is that what I want to say? I think there are just a lot of different things that you have to take into account here. So, take, for instance, you know, a married couple, right? Okay. And let's say they both each have a friend of the opposite sex.
Right.
And they've had this friend well before they even met you. So this this situation is the long-term friend. This is a friend that they've known since, like, let's say undergrad or something, or it can go even further back. But, like, I would say they've known this person for 10 plus years. They've known this person well before they even met you, well before you were even Got it. Okay. In this case, I would say that it's fine. Like, if you had that sort of friend, female friend, I would be fine with that.
Okay.
Because I respect friendships. And I think, in general, whether it's a friend of the opposite sex or same sex, whatever, I think friends are really hard to come by. Mm-hmm. That's just generally how I feel. And I feel like if you found a friend that just knows you inside out and has been with you through thick and thin and, you know, just knows everything about you and vice versa, obviously, like, I would not sit up here and be like, oh, she can't be your friend no more.
Right.
Or I wouldn't even dare say, like, oh, like, that's, you can't be, you know, talking with her or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would want that person, that woman, to thoroughly respect the fact that I'm the wife.
Oh, so you want
and that
you
I'm
want
this, here.
There's boundaries that she has to respect.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the long-term friend before
that's the
marriage.
Long-term friend. So I wouldn't be, you know, I definitely would not feel, you know, like, oh, that has to end. I would never say it, and I wouldn't feel it because I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really hope that she would respect the fact that I'm the new female presence in your life now, right. And that you will obviously be with me, like 99.9% of the time, right? And spending all of your time with me. We are married. We are living together. All these things that come with marriage, blah, blah, blah. So I would hope that she would respect that. And I know you would obviously respect. Well, I know you.
Right.
You would respect that. Now, other men, I don't know what y'all be doing out there. But, you know, that's how I feel about that situation. Now, if this is an... Now, let's talk about another scenario.
Right, yes.
Let's talk about a scenario where it's someone of the opposite sex, and you haven't been friends with that person for a very long time. Like, I would say, like, under 5 years, honestly. Okay. Like, five or under, somewhere in there. Like, a new friend.
What if it's someone, like, I mean, I'm okay, just going to throw a monkey wrench into your scenario.
Sure.
Twist it up a little bit. What if it's someone that you, for example, may have tried dating a couple of times. Like, went on a couple of dates with that person before.
Uh-huh.
Like, and... But then it didn't work out for whatever reason.
Right.
But you're still, like,
kind of... And you remain friends.
You remain friends
after
that.
Right, you decide to be friends and keep it... All that stuff. if that were the case, and I would assume that I would know that, you know, I would assume that I knew about that, that's when I would be a little... I would feel like this. I would feel like, okay, well, we're married. So instantly when, you know, it comes to married people, I think you have to have trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're in a very long-term relationship, you've been with somebody, you know, for a long time, whatever, trust definitely has to come into play. Now, for us, you know, as a married couple, and we've been together for a long time, on top of that, you know, I feel like if you had a friend in of that nature, I definitely would feel like, you know, you would have to let her know that, you know, look, I can't spend a lot of time with you anymore. You know, I can't hang out with you and, you know, like going out to dinners and things like that alone.
Alone, right. None of that, like, one-on-one stuff.
Right. We, all three of us can go out to dinner or something like that. All three of us can hang, even though that's weird. But I'm just saying, like, that situation definitely has to have some boundaries because of the nature of how that friendship started. So, but that's just my opinion with that. I mean, I just think that, you know, out of respect, like, that woman definitely needs to be told, like, hey, this is what's up. You know, like, you, Steven, would have to make sure you set
that boundary.
Yeah. Same thing on me, you know, and I would do that if I had a male friend in that situation. But for me, like, I wouldn't even, let's be real. Like, right now, like...
Yes.
I have no male friends that I keep in touch with like that I like hang out with and, you know, I wouldn't do that because to me it's very disrespectful.
Right.
And yeah, I wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, me and such and such is going to go out. And you knew that, oh, that's that guy that you used to kick it with. Like,
right.
I would never put you in that situation because I just think that's very disrespectful. Now, if like we all three want to go hang out, like somebody, you know, you met, I can't even think of anybody because there hasn't been anybody, but like, yeah, then we could all do something together the case. But, you know, no more hanging out separately in that sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's how I feel about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm
not saying like they can't be friends,
right,
but
yeah,
like
I agree.
There just has to be some limits to that.
I agree. There has to be like boundaries, and it should be established between the couple, and also I don't think there should be quote unquote no secrets. Like, you know, I guess secrets isn't the right word, but I think it should be, the communication should always be open between the party. So the couple.
Right.
So it should be like, hey, I'm going out with so and so, you know, on whatever, you know. And also it's like whoever that third party is should also, like, you know, should be one who would, like, if there's something going on, invite the other person. You know, invite the the person, you know, that's married to or is in a relationship with that friend. It's like, hey, you know, Joe, you want to, you know, Joe, I got tickets to this movie premiere. Uh-huh. Why don't you bring Sally with you, you know, your mm-hmm. wife or whatever. And that is a case I know as well that should, that's something that should go on as well.
Right.
With parties, you know, in those situations, platonic friends. But here's another interesting question. Is it possible, and this is something I think about, and I have my own views on it, but I want to know what you think about it. Let's say, I think that, is it possible for two people to be platonic friends, a man or a woman, for example, and neither one of them are in a relationship? Like, is it possible for both of them to just be friends? And there's
from the start?
Yeah, like from the start. Like, okay. there's, because I'm of the belief that if, between these two people, mm-hmm. if they're both attractive or they're both attracted to each other, but mm-hmm. they're still like on that friend level, mm-hmm. like, I don't think it's possible for them to be platonic friends. Like, as long as there's not like they're in a relationship with somebody else, mm-hmm. but if they're both single and eligible and they both find each other attractive, there's no way they can be platonic friends, because at some point someone is going to like catch feelings and mm-hmm. want to make more of it. I mean, it might take longer than some, you know, with some people than with others, but mm-hmm. there's no way that it can last like that mm-hmm. for a significant long time. It's like, until someone else gets into a relationship with somebody else, mm-hmm. and one of the people gets in a relationship with another person, there's no way that those two people can stay platonic friends,
okay.
like, for the run of their relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I had that situation.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had that situation, and nothing ever occurred between us.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he was very much straight before anybody thinks like, oh, he had to be gay.
But was, no. was he attractive to
you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait. What? Was he attracted to me or was he attractive?
Well, that's the thing. Was he attractive to you? Did you find him like physically attractive? Like, if yes. you saw him like, oh, he's a nice looking
yes.
guy. Did he find you physically attractive? Do you know?
He never said.
See, then you have to ask. Maybe he didn't. Then if he didn't find you attractive, then my theory still holds up. But if he did find you attractive and you both stayed friends, right. okay. I mean, that kind of disproves my theory. But until we know whether or not he found you attractive, uh-huh. he may not have found you attractive. So that's why it stayed on that level of platonic friends, you know? And I just think if two people find each other attractive, whether or not they express it to each other, mm-hmm. there's no way they could just stay friends. I mean, at some point, mm. someone's gonna express their feelings or make mm-hmm. a move, and mm-hmm. and you know, it could turn out good or it could turn out bad, but there's no way it can last a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had that situation happen, and we don't know.
How long were you friends? To like?
Oh, for just a few years was when I lived in DC.
Okay.
So yeah, it didn't. We actually, once I left DC, the friendship pretty much fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because. It just did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean, it happened to me. But in most other cases...
It's not going to happen.
No. I mean, I've had way too many situations that, yeah, it was, you know, an attracted to each other situation and may have tried to date and then didn't work out, and then we decided to be friends. So
right.
a lot of my male friends, it oh my god,
what is yeah
that?
No
sorry but a lot of my male friends, like, that's what occurred. So you know, I mean, but I think it can happen. I'm sure there are definitely tons of people out there, especially, like, I think if you met somebody when you were younger, you know, like, really young, like, maybe it was like a friend from your childhood. I think in those situations, well,
okay,
does that count? That
doesn't count. No, that doesn't count. We're talking about adults.
Okay, adults. No, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it happens, but I don't know. I assume it's probably pretty rare.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that it can't happen, because it happened to me. I have a male friend that nothing ever happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, if there's anyone listening who, you know, wants to chime in on this,
you know, feel free
to let us know, send us an email or, you know, tweet to us. We'll put that information
in
the description box.
On our page.
And you can leave comments on our Podbean page.
Yes.
You can do that as well. Let us know mm-hmm. If you guys agree or disagree with that point.
Awesome.
So.
All right. So for our final topic. All right. So I totally blame myself for this because, you know, I'm a woman and I like watching HGTV. And so I sort of got Steven here.
I swear, I have never seen a second of HGTV, which is the Home and Garden Network television network for you guys who don't know, until I started dating Tracy. Like, before then, I never watched HGTV. And now it's like it consumes like the vast majority of our television programming is HGTV.
It's a great channel. Well, it used to be better.
It used to be better.
It used to be a lot better, according to me. Yeah, you didn't watch it as much as I watched it. But no, these days, if any of you watch HGTV, let me know. But these days, it is all about the various property shows, buying property, selling property. And, you know, back in the day, it used to be about, like, how they designed homes and stuff. So, and makeover shows, which is what I preferred. But anyway, so we watch a lot of HGTV, and all of these shows, many of these shows, will show a couple.
Right.
Of the Caucasian persuasion.
Okay.
Buying a home.
All right.
And they typically have...
Yes.
A pet.
Okay. What kind of pet?
A dog.
Ruff.
Did you have to bark?
Yeah, okay. So people know what a dog sounded like. Ruff.
So, my question for all of you out there, why do these shows all have a couple, usually a Caucasian couple, with a dog?
Right.
And what is up with that?
We're just being real. I mean, we're just saying, like...
We're just being real. You know, hey, I like pets. I've had, I think I counted at one point, I think when I was younger,
right.
I counted. I have had like 20 pets in my lifetime. In my, yeah.
You had a
in my
menagerie child. Over there.
I had a menagerie. We had everything. We've had several dogs. We've had cats. I had a cat as an adult. I had fish. I've had turtles, birds.
I tell you right now, I've had a lot of pets. Your parents must have loved you. Like, the let you have all those pets.
Well, I have them all at the same time.
But still, at some point in your childhood, you had, like, upwards of 20 pets. Like, that would never fly in my house. Like, you know my mother. There was no way they were going to let me have any kind of pet. I mean, it's like, I wanted a dog when I was a kid. I remember, like, asking my parents for a dog. And I think it was my mother or my father, or both of them. I don't know which one. But one of them said to me, like, why do you want a dog? You're afraid of dogs, which I was. I was afraid of dogs. But my rationale was like, yeah, but I want to be afraid of my dog. Like, I'm afraid of those other dogs. If I had my own dog, then, yeah, you know, that would be my boy.
It's like the rationale that adults have with having kids. Like, I don't like kids, but I would love my kids. Right.
That's funny, because that's how I feel about kids.
There's some sort of weird thing with you. Okay, but seriously, yeah. Like, what is up with this? Like, I have never seen... I've just never seen, or never, I mean, it's I like definitely didn't realize
every
this.
Episode, it's like, I mean, we're talking about the most popular shows, like House Hunters, or House Hunters International, or House Hunters Innovations, or Property Brothers, like those shows where the people are looking for a house that meets their needs. Like, you know, they say stuff like, oh, I want at least two bedrooms, I want, like, a family room, I want an open concept, I want a big kitchen, those like that, you know, things like criteria that people want when it comes to their house search.
Right.
But invariably, it's always people with these dogs who, like, sometimes, like, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, like, you know, we want a big yard so Rocco could play. And I'm like, wait a minute, why is the dog your first concern? And it's like, every single family, they're talking about the dog. I'm like, yo, why does this dog mean so much to you that you're basing your house purchase decision on what the dog wants?
Like, what the dog
the
wants.
The dog isn't putting anything down on that mortgage. That dog is not paying the HOA fee. Why do you care what little Roxy wants? Like, it has to be enough room so Roxy can run around.
Yeah, some of the couples get really, like, specific and really into needing, like, a certain space for their dogs. Oh, this yard is way too small for Roxy. It's like, but your dog is small. Like, what are you talking about? And if they don't have a dog, They talk about
wanting a dog,
getting a yard big enough because they're going to get a dog. So that has just been like, what? Now, we say this really out of, this is just, we're just being crazy. Like, no, you know, whatever. We don't mean anything by it. But it's just really funny because when they do show couples of other ethnicities, they don't have dogs.
Nope.
Like, I don't think we've seen one black couple with the dog.
Right.
I don't think, or talking about getting a dog.
Right. Yeah. They don't mention it. I mean, it might be a couple that has a dog, but I guarantee you they never mention it.
They don't bring it up.
It's not a part of the house buying process.
Right.
You know, they're not advising, deciding on how to buy the house or which house to buy based on what the dog wants.
Or the people who have, or it's so funny when the people are looking at condos and like, oh, I don't know if we can do this because we got to take, you know, spot outside, like down these stairs.
And
like,
he's not gonna like that.
Oh, he's not gonna like that elevator. Like, I mean, really? Like, wow. But like, on another note, besides the pet thing, the kid thing is probably equally as bad too, because I've seen so many couples decide on their house based on a 2 or 3 year old child not being able to go downstairs or go upstairs or, what is it? Like, oh, there's a fireplace or some sort of thing that they deem dangerous for their 2 or 3 year old. And my thing is, you realize your kid is
going to grow up.
Going to grow up, right. First and foremost.
It's not like the dog. The dog is not going to get any smarter. The dog isn't going to be like, you know, in 5 years, he's going to learn how to like, you know, I don't know what the dog's gonna learn. The dog's gonna learn how to flush the toilet or something.
Right.
The dog is not gonna get any more intelligent.
Right. Or if you got like, you know, I can understand with dogs, like you have, you know, a lot of, I don't know, stairs or something. Maybe the dog is very tiny and he can't really go up the stairs. Then that, okay, is, I guess, a concern.
Right.
But your children will grow up. Like, I mean, especially if it's like a 3 year old kid. I mean, you've got what, maybe another year before they can really go up and down the stairs pretty much by themselves. I mean, I remember growing up and, you know, my first house we lived in, you know, I was like 4 years old and, you know, I learned how to go up and down stairs. And by the time I was 5, I pretty much mastered that skill. So I don't know. It's just really funny when you see these people like, you know, pointing out these things that are dangerous or a problem, but like your kid's going to grow up. Like, I mean, I know I don't have kids. I get that. But I was a kid, and I remember kids growing up in my family, and it's
so you don't really remember your parents when you guys moved from house to house. Your parents asking you what you thought?
No, they did not. They did not care.
Did they ask your dog, Mr. Brown, where he wanted to live?
No,
when you were living in the house,
They were just like, no. Well, we got that house before we got Mr. Brown, so.
So Mr. Brown had no say in the matter.
No, he did not have a say in the matter, but yeah. So that was just something funny that we wanted to point out. Let us know if you've noticed that same thing too, if you watch these shows.
If you watched enough HGTV, you will notice these people are all about their dogs. Their dogs are their lifeline, their lifeblood. They make all these decisions based on what is going on with the dog, which is fascinating to me.
To each their own.
Yeah, right? to each their own.
Yes. So, Stephen. We have done yet another wonderful podcast.
Yes. It was,
if I do say so myself.
I know, it was a pretty good one, I think.
I think it was pretty
good. Top-notch one. And if you agree, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
5 stars only. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope to come back soon with another delightful podcast. See you soon.
Bye, everyone.